Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broder. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing on this fine day?
I'm very good. I just want to let people through the Abroad in Japan curtains just before recording. Chris's little cat light he's got in his studio just went off, and then he turned it on and it came back on again. I think, Chris, your studio might be haunted. That's all I'm saying.
It was pretty
weird, right?
Very
spooky.
So yeah. I'm recording in the studio, and if you've seen the Abroad in Japan studio, guys, you'll know there's a Maneki Neko Lucky Cat neon light, and it's probably the coolest, my favourite neon light in the entire set. But I looked over my shoulder, and it just magically switched off, and I don't know how it did, because I went over and had a look under Pete's supervision, and I found there's a switch on the back that you can switch on and off, and it was switched off. But I didn't know you could switch it off.
Dear.
So how did that happen, Pete? What's going on?
I was just very worried that when you went over to touch and fiddle with it, what if there'd been an electrical explosion? You're knocked out. I don't know where you are. I don't know where your studio is. I don't know who to contact. Chris, we need a system. I need your address.
Watch me, my set burn down from 8,000 miles away.
Just slowly
burn. While you're having a Burger King burger or whatever it is you're eating right now. That would have been a grim way to die, wouldn't it? Under the watchful, disappointing gaze of Pete Donaldson.
The greasy gaze.
And he would have slowly switched his computer off and gone outside for a walk.
Played
down
Call
the riverbank. Yeah, of course he would. I got my dinner here, though. Yeah, I don't know why it switched off, though. I've got my dinner. Can you guess what it is? It's a bag.
You got your dinner? Oh,
you
what have we got, Chris?
What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
It's a very small, thin bag. I can't really see. It looks like dust. Are you eating dust for dinner?
Yes. I am eating a mouthful of asbestos. It's so high in nutritional value. No, it's fruit and nuts. Part of my
fruit and nuts.
Well, I want to get fit before I come back to the UK in a few weeks, so I'm eating just fruit and nuts now. No fried chicken, fruit and nuts.
Well, you can't. Well, are you coming back to the UK, Chris? Because there has been a massive downturn in how much chicken is available. Fried chicken is available in Japan. I got sent this news story so many times this week because there's no Christmas chicken for Chris, so he's coming back home to get some KFC.
That's right. I don't know why there was I got bombarded with messages. Apparently, there's a shortage of like fried chicken at Family Mart. Mm. Did you look into why there was? I didn't actually get further than the headline. I was so depressed.
Chicken,
once I saw the headline,
just
I just cried.
Fucking. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know, man.
Should probably read the tweet that I retweeted. I didn't even read it. That's pretty embarrassing.
That's a bit
worrying. All right,
worrying,
let's find out. We're going on Twitter. God, I hate Twitter. Why Twitter? Bloody Twitter. All right. It's Japanese convenience stores are facing a fried chicken shortage. Companies around the world worried about chip shortages, not fried chips, but literally computer chips. But in Japan, if you like convenience store fried chicken, add another worry to your list. Family Mart chicken is running low. Because of the spread of the coronavirus in Thailand, where Family Mart gets its chicken, it's causing supply shortages. So it's the pandemic, again, screwing us once more, depriving me of the chicken I deserve. bloody COVID-19. There's no escape from it, is there? God, what am I going to do, Pete? But now I'm looking forward to coming back, though. I'm trying to get fit. Yeah. It's not going very well because I haven't seen my family and friends. I haven't seen you in 2 years now. So I want to make a good impression, but it ain't going to happen because I just don't have the time to eat healthy. And that's not an exaggeration. When you're on the go like I am, running around with this bloody camera all day or editing in a room, you just don't have time to eat healthy things. Like,
no.
The convenience stores in Japan, it's not easy to get a good salad. You can get a salad, but it's not edible and you wouldn't want to touch it. All right. So you have to eat chicken from Thailand. It's the only thing.
I always find that it's not going well. It's always covered in like the optional, but it's kind of not optional because it's unpalatable otherwise. The kind of the drizzly sauce on top of the salad is it's a little bit much. It's a little bit much.
The drizzly sauce.
The drizzly sauce. You know, the salad drizzly sauce. Do you not have salad sauce where you come from? Salad sauce, you know. I think I'm thinking of the word vinaigrette dressing.
it's not overly great. It's not overly great. I don't think I've ever had a salad in a convenience store in Japan and thought, yes, this is something I want to experience again. But are you looking forward to seeing me? You got your Christmas presents lined up for me?
Why is the Christmas present come? I've not bought a single Christmas present yet, Chris. I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit concerned.
What?
It's the 20th. It's later than the 20th and I'm in big trouble, Chris. I'm in big trouble.
That's disappointing. Years ago, before the pandemic and the end of the world happened, I used to come back to the UK every Christmas and I'd bring you gifts and trinkets and Kit Kats.
Trinkets?
And I'd be like, Merry Christmas, Pete. And I'd be like, where's my present? And then you'd be like, I didn't buy you anything. Oh, I forgot it.
You'd bring us Kit Kats and then we'd sit there and both eat them. Outrageous. Has there been any new kind of developments in the whole Kit Kat R&D laboratory?
I hope not. I'm not going near Kit Kats ever again. Sick to death of bloody Kit Kats.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can find before I come back. I'll go to the Kit Kat chocolatery in Ginza where you can get like 500 different bloody flavours of Kit Kat. I always get them to like impress friends and family. So I'll do that again and that will be better than having an original idea for a present. We've got a story here from Noah this week. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. My name's Noah and I'm from Sydney, Australia, currently living in the weird and wacky Osaka. My email today is to tell a story about a recent and quite disgusting experience I had on the train. Uh-oh. It was like any other morning, commuting on the JR line from Osaka station to my workplace down in Izumi, close to Kansai International Airport. At the ridiculously crowded time of 7 o'clock in the morning. The train was packed as usual, but on this rare occasion, I was able to find a seat. I settled down for the 40-minute train ride with my headphones on as usual, when suddenly in the crowded space next to the door, I noticed in the corner of my eye some sort of liquid spilling to the ground. At first, I thought maybe someone had spilled a coffee or something, but no, to my shock, a young schoolgirl who looked to be around 15 years old was standing there being sick, oh God, all over the train, all over the seats, and the countless people who were in range. Everybody ran away from the scene as soon as possible. When the doors opened at the next station, about half of the carriage was empty. Although I was about 2 meters away, I did not get any of the sick splashing on me, but I felt rather bad for the poor girl and felt the urge to help her. But to save the day, luckily came three elderly women with plastic bags and wet wipes to help her off the train at the next station. Besides, I don't think a big tall Australian who barely speaks any Japanese would have helped the situation at all. Anyway, after a 10-minute delay of cleaning the train, we were back on our way with the added perk of a far less crowded train. What's the almost unpleasant experience that you've had on a Japanese train? Cheers and keep up the good work, Noah. Bloody hell, it sounds awful. But I like the way this is like, we talked about this literally last week. If a train is 1 minute late in Japan, you get a little document from the railway company that you can take into your office to show them, to prove
vomit flecked
that you're late. Because it's just so unheard of for a train to be late in Japan. So presumably, maybe some of the people on the train would have got one of these certificates because this is, imagine just walking into work that morning and being like, oh, sorry, I'm late. The train was late because a girl projectile vomited over the train and destroyed it. I don't know if it would work, but my most disgusting experience on a train, that's a tough one. Let me have a think. Any experiences on your end, Pete?
I knew that a friend was on the train with another friend, and the other friend everyone was kind of rushing onto the tube train as she was kind of like just standing there. She'd had a rough night the night before, had a long night the night before, and she wasn't feeling particularly great about herself. And so everyone piled on the train. She vomited everywhere over like several people. And then just as she finished vomiting, the doors closed. Go to the next station. It was just something. It wasn't particularly funny, but it was just
comedic timing.
It was just quite poetic the way that it went. Closing doors, please. Let's make this even more unbearable.
Bloody hell! I don't think I've ever had an experience like that. You know, I've had people sleep on me on the train in Japan, which is not uncommon when you're in rush hour Tokyo. Right? I remember as recently as 3 weeks ago, I was in Tokyo, and someone on the left of me, a woman who must have been in her 30s. Who'd probably been at a long day working in an office, she just like fell asleep on my left shoulder. And I sort of awkwardly did not know what to do. What are you supposed to do in that situation? There was a guy across me on the other side of the carriage sitting there smiling. He'd look up occasionally and smile because he found this scene funny, presumably.
Humorous.
But I was like a bit awkward. I didn't know what to do. And she'd wake up every now and then periodically, acknowledge the fact she was using my left shoulder as a pillow, and then slowly but surely fall asleep once again and just repeat the process. Went on for about 20 minutes. But I was nice. You know, I could have gone, what are you fucking doing? What are you doing? And just like thrown her off and scared her. But I thought, I'll embrace this ridiculous situation. But it could happen to you. Could be you.
It could happen to you. Situation. Can you imagine? I was reading, it's not in Japan, but I was reading about this this food live stream. You know, like China, you get like a lot of people just eat loads of mad food, but B, like a lot of food as well. There's a guy who got, Mr. Kang, his name was, he got banned from a barbecue restaurant. Seafood barbecue restaurant in Changsha after eating 1.5 kilograms of pork trotters and 3.5 to 4 kilograms of prawns on another visit. And he's basically been banned from going in and eating loads of pig trotters.
Oh my God, why? Just because he like broke the record or something?
He just keeps on eating. The man cannot be satisfied. So I was just thinking, if he gets on the train afterwards with his belly full of pig trotters and soy milk.
I was at a Genghis Khan restaurant with Connor about 1 week ago. We were in Hokkaido and we went to a Genghis Khan restaurant because Genghis Khan, Genghis Khan in Japanese, it's like the local dish of Hokkaido. And it's basically lamb mutton barbecue, and it's one of my favorite things. Absolutely beautiful. So juicy and so delicious. Lamb's so rare in Japan that it feels like a real treat to actually have it. So we went and did it. We went to a tabehodai, all you can eat. And all you can drink as well, Genghis Khan restaurant. And we must have smashed the record for most Genghis Khan ever consumed in that restaurant. Like between the two of us, we had like, it must have been like 25 plates worth of just a pile of lamb. It's quite disgusting when you think about it, how much lamb we consumed that day. But it was worth
it. Delicious.
It was so bloody delicious. Good. You could just imagine going there with like a rugby team or like a soccer team of foreigners and obliterating the restaurant and like breaking all the rules or breaking the record. You know, there must be like a rule against it. I don't know if we've ever had a story on the subject. We might have had one during the Rugby World Cup 2 years ago. I think we did have a story where some lads had gone into a all-you-can-drink place and been told they had to stop drinking because they'd broken the unwritten limit. It wasn't fair to compare the stomachs of like four Australians to four Japanese people.
Yeah, that's
I vaguely remember that story. I have to dig that one out and have another look. We got a story this week about elderly drivers in Japan.
Ooh.
As I've talked about in the past, particularly in a video I did called Driving in Japan, a lot of the accidents that happen here on the road are perpetrated by the elderly, just by virtue of the fact that such a massive proportion of people in Japan are over 65. And following a spate of serious traffic accidents across Japan involving elderly drivers, the government is stepping up countermeasures to promote the spread of vehicles equipped with automatic braking. I remember 2 years ago as well. It all happened 2 years ago. Everything good happened 2 years ago before the end of the world. Remember the story where they were giving out coupons to elderly people in, I think, Nagoya or Shikoku, to elderly people that gave up their driver's license.
That's
people over 65. You gave up your driver's license and you would get like a free bowl of ramen. And that was a fair trade, apparently, to giving up your independence for the rest of your life. A bowl of ramen.
I mean, you either need that car and you want to drive, or you don't need to drive it. And, you know, well, I may as well just keep it. If you're not driving, you're not going to be driving. If you're not interested in driving, you're not going to be driving. But if you are interested in driving, a bowl of ramen isn't much of an exchange, is it, really?
Absolutely. But there's been a few like major cases in Japan recently. In 2019, in Ikebukuro, an elderly retired head of the Agency of Industrial Science and Technology, quite a big official, caused a car accident that killed a mother and a daughter and injured 9 people. And jeez, it's not uncommon to read about these accidents where someone who's elderly, unfortunately, it accidentally kills a lot of people, or something terrible goes wrong. So countermeasures against accidents by elderly drivers are a pressing issue. And while the government is calling for elderly drivers in Japan to return their licenses, it will require new model cars to be fitted with automatic braking systems from this month, which I think is a good idea, to be honest. Whenever I come back to the UK, I rent a nice car. It's like the thing I do. And I'm coming back in just a few weeks, and I've rented a BMW 3 Series, which is just fun. You can't get a car like that in Japan. You just feel guilty. You just feel smug and a bit of a dick having a car that's not Japanese because it's so rare. So I come back and I rent a good car. It could be an Audi, could be a BMW, could be a Mercedes, anything. But I remember when I did it a few years ago, I rented an Audi A6, I think, and it was the most fun I've ever had driving a car. But it had an auto braking system, which at first it was a little bit annoying. But I remember one time during my month-long stay, some sort of car just popped out of a road, and if I had to do it, if I'd had to brake myself, I do think I would have banged into the car just because they came out so quickly and sort of surprised me. But luckily, the car's auto braking took over, and I was about a yard or so from the car, and we actually didn't crash.
I think auto braking is really good. So I've never experienced this because my rear sensors that beep beep beep. Like when I go backwards, it sometimes gets confused with like a wire fence or a tree. It always just gets a little bit confused. So I'm just sort of thinking that I'd have like a crap version of it, and it would just start to like break all of the time and cause me all kinds of bother.
I mean, I think it's really good, though. I do think it can save a lot of lives having cars fit with these devices where it brakes for you, because it can brake in a way that is far more effective and efficient than a human could ever do with such faster response times. So I think it's a good idea, fitting them in the cars.
Yeah, save a lot of lives. Drive around to Southend, we'll go to the arcades, and then we'll just do some burn-ups in the backyard.
Well, you're not over 75 yet, Pete, so hopefully you can brake of your own accord.
I feel like it this morning.
But I've nearly crashed a few times here, but it's been because of an elderly person like pulling out. I remember one of the few times I've seen Ryotaro angry. We were driving about an hour north of Sendai, and we were cruising down the road. He was driving, and an elderly man just pulled out from a driveway. He very badly mistimed it. We didn't see us, and we nearly went straight through his car. And it would have been an absolute nightmare. Luckily, Ryotaro is a relatively good driver, albeit he drives too fast for my liking. And it's a bit like being strapped to a rocket driving with Ryotaro, but he did stop in time. Credit where it's due. But like every time, the 3 or 4 times I've nearly like had a major accident in Japan, it's always been someone who is elderly, unfortunately. Yeah. So anything they could do here to stop that, whether that's improving public transport, whether that's giving out free ramen coupons, or fitting
free ramen
cars
every day, I'd take, definitely.
Let's do it, free ramen. That'll be the way to win over Pete Donaldson when
government ramen.
This system is implemented in the UK. That'll be the way to win Pete over in 30 years.
Yeah,
but I think it's a good idea, and I think it could save a lot of lives. We'll be back with the fax machine and your questions, guys, in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Dear Chris and Pete, this is from Bobby in Colorado. I loved Colorado. Anyways, my question is, are heavy metal, metalcore, or otherwise extreme music fans prominent in Japanese culture? I don't mean J-rock, I'm thinking of the really heavy stuff. I've gathered that the people of Japan tend to keep themselves. Is it uncommon to express unconventional interests, such as band shirts or play heavy music in public spaces or in stores, like we find in the US and UK? Hope you're all well. Regards, Bobby. Now, I don't go in a lot of shops that are playing really loud metal, but a bit of Cradle of Filth in your peacocks. In Japan, you don't really, you might hear it in like a cool sort of indie shop maybe, but it's always, it's only those shops, isn't it? You don't generally hear them in department stores or anything like that. Every major city will have a little bar where everyone who's there is banging to some quite heavy metal, heavier than I could handle, I would say. So there's always there's loads of people who are into it. They're just into it on their own terms and in their own bars, effectively. But you don't hear it out on the street, I don't think, much, do you?
Yeah, it's very much a niche thing here. I'd say it's not as big a thing as like the UK or the US. But you know, one of my favourite bars is in Golden Guy in Shinjuku, and it's called Death Match in Hell, I think it's called. I've been there in a few years because of the COVID situation, but like, that place, he'd bash out some really heavy metal rock music, and you sit there going for a drink under the watchful eye of, he's got like a puppet Yoda, but yo, it's it's really graphic. Like, he's got a chopped up arm strapped to the like Yoda's face with a chain, a metal chain, and that is the personification of metal, heavy metal music, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I highly recommend it. Deathmatch in Hell, great place, great bar in Shinjuku. I think everyone that passes through Golden Guy knows that bar as well, because the guy is very welcoming, despite the intimidating artwork and music on the way in. It's a really great place. But that is the extent of my knowledge.
In my favorite bar Rockaholic, which does play a lot of heavy metal actually, but they don't seem to sort of be able to differentiate between, and I've said this before, so apologies if I am repeating myself, they don't seem to be able to differentiate between quite heavy metal and then Coldplay and then heavy metal then Oasis. Then like they just kind of treat it, you know, you'll hear Spine Shank or I don't know, I'm trying to think of a heavy metal band, you know, like a really heavy metal band, and it'll just go to Coldplay, Yellow, and you're like, what's this about?
It's quite a jarring transition.
Quite jarring, yeah, yeah.
One that I've enjoyed many of my times there at Bar Rockaholic in Shinjuku. We got one here from Ryan in Montreal, Quebec. Good evening, gentlemen. My name's Ryan from Montreal. There's a large population of homeless people here in Montreal, and I've always wondered what the homeless space is like in Japan. I feel like it's something we don't hear much about. Thank you for your time, guys. All the best, Ryan from Quebec. I certainly in areas of Tokyo, there is quite a big homeless population. I think the most notable one you'll find is in Shinjuku, around the sort of around Shinjuku Station, around the skyscraper district. While I've never made a video on the subject, I do know that Greg from the YouTube channel Life Where I'm From, he's done a pretty extensive series on the subject, far better than I could ever do and far better than anything I've ever seen. And I'd highly recommend checking out that video series because he goes in depth, he covers the stories of people and sort of talks about how and why homelessness happens in Japan. It's a really great series. I don't know if you've come across it at all, Pete. Have you ever seen it?
I did see one episode on that where he talks about those very intricate kind of cardboard constructions the homeless guys make in Yoyogi Park. Because you do see quite a lot of them, but they're very much kind of tucked away to like a little sort of village of cardboard boxes. And for a metropolitan district, I mean, that is insane how few there are, I think it's fair to say. But it's obviously a problem. It's a problem anywhere in the world. But that piece is really, really beautifully done. Really responsibly done, and I think homeless. You sort of have this idea about homelessness being, you know, people live in cardboard boxes and in old trucks and stuff. But I mean, the people who sort of live in like internet cafes and stuff like that, and transient people as well. It's I think that's very much under that banner as well. It is an insidious problem, hopefully it will be fixed, but you do see people kicking around, knocking around every now and again. Not as bad as London, not as bad as any other city I've been to be honest, but maybe I'm just not looking in the right places.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the issues here in Japan is because it's so expensive to live here, you really do need to rely on your sort of parents and grandparents' support financially. And if you're somehow outside of the family unit, then you're left to your own devices, it can be pretty difficult to survive. And yeah, there's a good video, I think, which you must have seen, which you kind of just referenced about people that do live in sort of internet cafes in Tokyo. An internet cafe is like a place where it's pretty cheap accommodation. It's like $10-$15 a night, right? It's not really a hotel as such, but people treat it as a hotel, and you go in and you can like pick up a book or something. You get a little room that's very much just a sort of chair with a computer or a TV screen. You can sit there and put your legs up and put your feet up and sort of relax. But a lot of people do live in them, sadly. I think I've only been in an internet cafe once in my time here. They're quite bizarre phenomena, really. Have you ever been in one yourself? You've actually walked into one?
No, it's got those kind of weird sort of shady book rental, book read, like kind of manga places and internet cafe and all kinds of sort of stuff. There's phone booths and stuff. Yeah, no, it's not really something I've ever sort of got in touch. I've got no business being in there.
It's a bit of a niche, but they're pretty common, especially here in Sendai. We've got some really big ones actually a few blocks from here, but I feel a bit misplaced going in there because I don't read manga and I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do in there, really. But there's a really good video on people that live in them, though, and I'd definitely recommend checking that out. We've got one here from Nick. He says, hello, Cavalry Chris, Prospector Pete. My name's Nick from Oklahoma, Pete. USA. I currently am attending the university for my civil engineering degree, expected next year. And I had a question related to this regarding Japan. With both of your combined supreme knowledge of all that is Japan, I was curious if you know how specialty degrees or careers in Japan are for foreigners. Would someone who became a doctor, engineer, lawyer, etc. in some other country be able to come to Japan and find any work in their field? Would they be accepted? Do you find, do you think their knowledge would be sufficient? And would it be an absolute necessity to master the language first? Turning northern. to master the language. Your friend, Nick. I'd say, for specialty subjects like that, Japanese will be like indispensable. And often for a lot of these sort of careers in Japan, they have a very certain way of teaching it, sort of Japanese way of teaching it. Like doctors in Japan, I feel they're a little bit different to how they are in the UK. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I do feel like if you do want to do something, a specialty sort of career or degree, you're going to need to know the language, unfortunately. Because, you know, if you're building a skyscraper in Tokyo and you're having communication issues doing it, then lots of things could go wrong. And I think...
Forgot to put the lifts in. Oh. Oh, dear.
Exactly.
There's no toilets.
So that, you know, that is a barrier to coming and living in Japan, unfortunately. Same as any country where English isn't the native language. But yeah, it's a shame. And that's why you don't see that many foreigners in skilled sectors, sort of non-Japanese in skilled sectors in Japan, outside of things like banking, where it's more numbers-based, or IT, where there's a sort of universal code, like programming code. Outside of subjects like that, careers like that, it is a bit more difficult, unfortunately. And I can count on like one hand the friends I know working in sort of specialized sectors, and most of them usually have lived here a long time or have sort of adopted and learned the language as best they can. So that will be a barrier, unfortunately, Nick. I there's not much way around it, unfortunately. Any positive words you can add?
I wish I had a skill, Chris. I wish I had an actual skill.
You have a nice voice.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, that'll be useful.
I don't know if you could be a voice actor in Japan, but have you ever thought about like voice acting in anime? Would that be what
hello?
You could do?
Hello, I'm a man with a big sword. I'm going to chop you, chop, chop, chop. So, anime creators are listening, that's basically what I can provide. Chop, chop, chop! I'm going to chop you in the head. Chop, chop, chop!
Oh dear. Probably stay away from anime for now, Pete.
Celebrated P-Dog VA, celebrated voice actor Pete Donaldson doing another masterclass in voiceovers. Chop, chop. I'm going to chop you in the head. Chop, chop.
Before you dig your hole any deeper, Pete, let's end things. Let's get away. Stories, questions, comments coming into Abroad Japan Podcast at gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll see you in the next few days to do it all over again right here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Nani kore? It's Chopman. Chop, 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 chop.
Oh, God.
That's how I'd arrive on the telly. Chop, 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 chop.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.